Hello, D Group leaders. This is Chris McLaughlin, and welcome to the D Group Leader Podcast. So glad you joined us today. Hey, today we're going to be looking, really taking a deep dive into the gospel and how the gospel helps us in every struggle, even in decision making. So just as a recap of where we've been so far, our D groups really have two goals in mind. One is that we're trying to give gospel-centered teaching. We want to tell people the gospel so that they can come to faith in Christ, but it also shapes them and grows them. And so that's really key. The second goal is actually helping our D groups to spread the gospel, to tell others about the good news of Jesus Christ. And this is an important part of our own discipleship and everybody's discipleship. This is what the church is supposed to be doing. But before we go any further, we need to talk a little bit more about why the gospel is so important for Christians, because, you know, we've seen how the gospel is the power of God for salvation, right? That's Romans chapter 1, verses 16 and 17. But it's also, the gospel is also the framework for the Christian worldview. It helps us to understand the reality in which we live. The gospel is also a catalyst for Christian spiritual growth. I'd say it is the catalyst for Christian spiritual growth. And this episode is really going to drill into that aspect of the gospel, that that really the gospel helps us to grow as Christians and really helps us in our struggles and our decision-making every single day. A lot of what I'm going to talk about today is based off of a PDF, a little article that was written by Pastor Tim Keller out of New York. And what he does is he goes into Galatians chapter 2. Now, in Galatians chapter 2, this is, and if you want to, if you're not driving and you'd like to turn there, we're going to be in Galatians 2, and it's going to be starting at verse 13. I think it's 13. Let's look it up here. Verse 11. And we're going to be looking at verses 11 through 14. So this is what's going on here. Peter is sitting and talking with some Jews or some Christians who are Gentiles. So they are uncircumcised Christians. And then some circumcised Christians, some Jews who became Christians, they came into the room. And Peter, when he saw them, out of fear, he withdrew from that conversation with the uncircumcised Christians. And really what was going on there was this group of circumcised Christians, they really believed that you had to be circumcised in order to be saved. And so the book of Galatians really digs into that whole issue, and Paul puts the kibosh on that. But the point is, when is really in verse 14. This is so good. Look at what he says. He says, this is Paul talking. He says, "When I saw that their conduct was not in step with the truth of the gospel, I said to Cephas before them all, 'If you, though a Jew, live like a Gentile and not like a Jew, how can you force the Gentiles to live like Jews?'" So his point here is that he's looking at the conduct of this group of Christians, that they're trying to force law onto other Christians. They're trying to force this rule onto them. And he says, look, this is not right. What I love about what he's saying here is it says that their conduct, their behavior, the way that they are living, was not in step with the truth of the gospel. Not in step with the truth of the gospel. And what that tells us is that Paul had an understanding that the gospel actually informed the way that we live. And that's what we want to get to today. Now, I think that there are two ways that we tend to try to solve our problems or tend to approach the struggles that we have. The first way is really through moralism. It's this idea that we make ourselves acceptable to God and to others, to ourselves, and we do this through our own achievements, through our own goodness, our own good works. Typically, when Christians have this sort of approach to handling their struggles, their idea of Christianity is just filled with rule after rule after rule. It's law after law after law. People who do this really emphasize God's holiness, God's justice. They emphasize all of that stuff over over God's grace. And so there's very high standards for people who are in this camp. And these high standards lead to either self-hatred, really because they realize that they can't follow all the rules, and so they beat themselves up over it, or it leads to self-inflation because they think that they have lived up to all the standards and they look down on everybody else. And when we think like this, there's really no transforming power or joy. So that's the moralism camp. Now, there's another side of it. The other extreme would be like a relativism camp, okay? In relativism, really what we're saying there is, you know, I'm accepted by God because God is so loving. And it's true. Yes, that's very true. But there's also this emphasis on, but I'm really not that bad. I really haven't done anything very wrong. And on the surface, this group is much more happy than the other. They seem more tolerant and all that sort of stuff. But they tend to emphasize God's love and forgiveness and never talk about our sin or God's coming judgment. So they talk a lot about God's love, but since they don't think of themselves as sinners, God's love for them really costs God nothing. So ultimately, this idea is empty belief and devoid of any real truth. So you can see you have a moralism side and a relativism side, and people tend to go to one or the other. One is truth without grace, and the other is grace without truth. But both ways are really an attempt to avoid Jesus as Savior and keep control of our lives. See, the moralist says, you know, I'm in control of my salvation because, you know, I'm good enough and I've earned it and God owes it to me. That's essentially what a moralist is saying. The relativist is also saying, you know, I'm my own Savior and Lord because no one else is going to tell me what to do or believe or what to do. I determine what is right and wrong for me, right? But the really biblical Christianity doesn't blend the two at all. There's a third way. There's a third way of seeing God through the gospel, a third way of approaching our struggles, a third way of making decisions. And really, it begins at the gospel. It's that I am a sinner saved by the grace of God. And then from there, from that reality, from that identity that we have as sinners saved by grace, we have a new approach. And so what I want to do here, I'm going to read a little bit of Tim Keller's PDF on this just to give you an example of what this looks like. So this is what he calls an approach to discouragement. So Tim Keller writes, when a person is depressed, the moralist says, you are breaking the rules, repent. And on the other hand, the relativist says, you just need to love and accept yourself. But without the gospel, superficialities will be addressed instead of the heart. The moralist will work on behavior, and the relativist will work on the emotions themselves. But the gospel leads us to examine ourselves and say, something in my life has become more important than God. There's a pseudo-savior, a form of works righteousness. The gospel leads us to repentance, not to merely setting our will against superficial issues. So what he's getting to here is, and what we can see is that the gospel actually addresses the foundational issue, and that is the issue of the heart. So instead of a moralist working on just trying to pick themselves up by their own bootstraps, right? And they're going to go and they're going to do everything right now. They're going to stop sinning by their own power. But we know that that's impossible. We can't do that by our own power. We need the power of the gospel in order to help us to do that. But then for the relativist, they're basically just trying to sweep all the sin and everything under the rug and muster up the idea that they should just be accepted. And that is not right either. There's real change that takes place in the life of a Christian when the gospel is their reality, is the reality for them, okay? So there has to be a third way. So they have to go back to the gospel and say, all right, I'm feeling depressed, all right? I'm feeling broken. I'm feeling down right now because of this circumstance and this circumstance. So then how do we apply the gospel in there? Well, this is what we say. We say, you know, I'm a sinner saved by grace. I'm a sinner saved by grace. And so allowing the reality of that to sink in helps us in this way. When we're depressed, we're usually bummed out about the circumstances that are going on in our life because we, at our core, believe that we deserve better. We believe that the circumstances in our life are not what they're supposed to be, and that we actually deserve better than what those things are. And so if we start at the place of being a sinner, then instantly we are brought to the reality of wait a minute, I don't actually deserve those things. I don't deserve the goodness of these blessings. I actually deserve the opposite. I deserve nothing good. I deserve hell, actually, because of my sin and rebellion against God. Okay, so what does that do? Then it changes us. It changes our whole perspective, because at that point, everything that is good in our life is truly a blessing from God. It brings us right back to James chapter 1, where he says that every good and perfect gift comes from the Father. And that we can actually believe that and live that and look at the good things in our life as blessing. And then the bad things that are going on in our life, we can see those really as what they are, as bad circumstances that are as a result of sin, things that God may be using in order to teach us, to grow us, to sanctify us. And we can approach those things with maturity and with faith. And that's what the gospel does for us. So hopefully that helps just to give you a little bit of an idea about how this works, that yes, we are sinners, but we have also been saved by his grace and his love. And this is so key for us to be teaching week after week in our D groups. You guys, this is the very foundation of discipleship. This whole idea of bringing people back to the gospel, this is the foundation of it. This is why I spend so much time trying to give us good gospel-centered curriculum for our groups. This is why every single week we want to be coming back to the gospel so that people can see that this is actually something that's transforming them and helping them in their struggles every single day. So that's where we're going to stop for today. If you have any questions about this, always feel free to reach out to me and talk with me about it. You guys have my email, my phone number, so you can reach out to me anytime. And I would love to keep talking about it. We're going to continue this conversation. We're going to dig into a little bit more about some practical things for our groups getting launched and getting moving forward. So join us next week when we do that on the D Group Leader Podcast.